I'd ask that you turn with me to the book of Ruth. Today we enter into the second chapter as we continue our series through this book that we began 3 weeks ago, entitled The House That Ruth Built, A Legacy of Faith of a Family, a Faithful Family of God that lived in the midst of a time of great darkness in their nation, a time of the judges when everyone did as was right and they thought in their own eyes and did not follow the commands of God. And in the midst of that darkness, the house of Ruth and Boaz stood as light. And through that legacy that was built, eventually, as you know, David came, and eventually Jesus, our Savior, descended through that line. And today we come to chapter 2, where Ruth and Naomi had returned back from Moab, and they arrived in Moab as about the time of the harvest was beginning, after the loss of their husbands, and they returned destitute. And we pick up the account in chapter 2. We'll be reading through verse 13. The scripture declares that now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the field of behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" And the foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' And she went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she explained, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you take notice to me? You notice me, a foreigner." But Boaz replied, "I have been told about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland to live with people you did not know before. Excuse me. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. And may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoke kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this beautiful account of how you are working and how you work through the lives of Ruth and Boaz, and how you are at work in our lives as well. For Lord, you are behind the scenes, and your hand is guiding and directing our lives. And we thank you and trust you. And we thank you that indeed you are a good God. And we can rest and we can reside under your wings. And under your wings, we can take refuge. So Lord, as we come to you this morning, I pray that through your word, you'd encourage our hearts, that we would see your wings spread over our lives, and that we can reside there and know that we are safe and under your protection. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever seen a picture of in the middle of a storm, when it's a really bad, violent storm, a mother bird will put its wings out over its birds to protect them and call them to keep them sheltered from the storm? And puts the wings of protection out and little birds come underneath to keep them safe from the wind and the howling storms that may come by. And that's a beautiful picture of our God and his hand of protection over us. And as we come to chapter 2, we had seen that Ruth and Naomi had returned back to Bethlehem, and now Ruth had come with Naomi, had left Moab, her native country, after she lost her husband, and they had returned back to Bethlehem, and it was about the time of the harvest. And because it was harvest time, Ruth decided she was going to go out into the field and begin to glean some of the crops, the barley that was being harvested, a way to provide for her and for Naomi for their needs, because they had no one else to care for them in a way that their needs would be provided. And she meets Boaz, the owner of whose field she is in. And he says to her that you have taken refuge under the wings of God. And this morning, that is our theme verse, verse 12, that under the wings of God, we find our shelter. And the scripture says we find refuge there. And when we abide under the wings of God and his protection wrapped over us, there are five blessings that come to us that we see in this account, and we can learn from this chapter 2 this morning. Five blessings that come to us, you and I, when we are under the wings of God. And when he spreads his wings over us when those storms come, when those hard times come, when we have that need, and we know that we can have his wings spread over us, it gives us some assurance. And the first blessing that we have is that we can rest. We can rest under his wings because he is sovereign. And that's the good God we have. It says, notice, and we mentioned this last week and again this morning, that when they arrived in Bethlehem, it was the harvest time. And say, what was so significant about that? Well, it was harvest time. It was a time when they could go into the field and glean. And so Naomi says to Ruth, let's go to the harvest. And so Ruth says, I will do that. She said, let me go into the field and pick up what is left over. Well, this was based on a law that God had given to his people. And turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. God had a way to make sure that the needs of the people, his people, were cared for, especially the widows and orphans. In Leviticus chapter 19, God had said to the people, he said, when you go into the land, you remember most of the people lived off of farming, off of crops. And he said, when you harvest, verse 9 of chapter 19, when you reap the harvest of your land, don't reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time to pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. So when God commanded the harvesters, whenever you harvested your field, and it was harvest time, they were to go in and only go all the way around the field once and leave around the outside of the crops there, so that widows, orphans, those that didn't have a means to provide could go and pick up what was left, or to go through the field one time and whatever the harvesters didn't gather, and if the harvesters didn't pick up everything, Gene, you were to leave it there and let people come to gather up what was left so that their needs would be provided for. And it was a way that God was showing his care and protection. So it was harvest time, and Ruth says, I will go out in the midst of that law. Naomi must have told her about that because she was Moabite. So Naomi must have told her about that law. So she said, I'll go out into the field and I'll do some gleaning. So it was harvest time, and God is perfect in his sovereignty in the timing, because it says that just as God happened to lead her to a field that was owned by one of Naomi's relatives, or Abimelech's relatives, whose name was Boaz. Did Ruth just happen to wander into a field that was let be owned by a relative of Abimelech? You think that just happened? And then it says, while she was in the field gleaning, Boaz just happened to arrive right when Ruth was starting to work. Do you think that is coincidence? No, friends, that's the sovereignty of God. And in his timing, God is always perfect. And behind the scenes of our life is the unseen hand of God, who is sovereign and is guiding and directing us, ordering our steps, that his timing is always perfect. His plan is always good, and his will always be accomplished. And we can rest in that. Ruth just happened to wander into the field to begin gleaning in a field that belonged to the close relative of Naomi's deceased husband, Boaz. Boaz just happened to arrive in the field when Ruth started gleaning. God was orchestrating this whole thing, and his unseen hand was at work in our life. And so, dear friends, we can rest in the fact that when we are under the wings of God, he is sovereign. And he is directing your life and mine, and whatever happens, his hand is there at work. Ruth and Naomi were wondering, they were left destitute. How was their needs going to be provided for? And Ruth had given up the chances, as we've seen last week. Ruth had given up the chances of finding another husband, and Naomi was concerned about that. That's why she said, stay in Moab, because you're not going to be able to find a husband in Israel. You're a Moabite. You're an Israelite. You're not going to be able to find a husband there. And I can't give you any more sons. But yet, God was at work directing and planning so that his will could be done. And we can trust him and the orchestrating and the plan of God. So whenever you have a need in your life, you have a concern, you have a burden, you have that time in your life, just as Ruth, as Naomi said last week, Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara, because I have become, the Lord has made my life very bitter. And that bitterness that had been in her, and she thought that all the sorrow that had been in her life had caused that bitterness. And she thought, how am I ever going to get through this time? But yet God was there, and his hand was working and guiding and directing. So we can rest under his wings, and we can sleep, and we can rest in him, knowing that he is sovereign. We can trust his sovereignty because he is good. His timing is always perfect. Last night, if you had seen any of the fireworks, they were planning a big celebration in Washington, D.C. And the president was scheduled to speak early, and then they were going to have a big firework event, and it was going to be a big celebration. And rain came, and they had to delay it. And they had everybody ready to go, and they had everybody into the place where they were going to have the celebration. And then the rain came, and they made everybody leave. And so for a couple hours, it was delayed. And the correspondents on Fox News, they put everybody into this little bunker that they had everybody in there. And they were broadcasting from there, and they got to talk about different things that happened. But then when they finally come back, and after a couple hours, and they had it on, Harris Faulkner last night, she said, you know, she said, God was orchestrating this whole thing. She said, we can see his hand at work through this, because she said, in that room, when they went into that room and bunker, they began to talk among each other, and the veterans that were there began to share their stories, and they began to sing, and some things, she said, that happened in these 2 hours that never would have happened. She said, God's hand was in this whole thing, and he was directing it all. And no matter what happens in our time, sometimes we think things should go according to a schedule that we have and our plans. But you know, God's timing is always right. And we can rest in that, to know that he is orchestrating it. His hand is there. So just rest under his wings and trust in his sovereignty. That he is good. He knows what he's doing. Ruth, and God was directing Ruth to that field to meet Boaz. God had directed Boaz to come at that time to meet Ruth. Because as you know, as the story unfolds, God's bringing those two together so that through them, eventually David and Jesus would come in this plan. So God was orchestrating it. We can rest in him. Second, when we're under his wings, we can have peace. And we can have peace under his wings because he sees us. Look at verse 7. As Ruth is out there gleaning in the field, and she's gathering up what was left over that the harvesters were leaving there, and she was gathering up in the gleaning, and she was getting some for her, and she was getting some for Naomi. Boaz comes in, as we had seen, under God's direction, and he saw her. There was something about Ruth that caught his eye. And he took notice of her. In fact, it says in verse 7, he asked the farmers, first he said, "Whose young woman is that?" And then they said who it was. He said, "It's the Moabite Ruth." And she said, "Please glean among the fathers." And she went out to the field and from morning till now. And so he saw her. And she said to him, "Why did you take," verse 10, "why did you take such favor and notice your eyes, notice a foreigner like me?" Boaz took notice of Ruth and he caught her eye and he saw her. And so God sees you and he notices you and fully aware of your need. And Ruth thought, well, why would Boaz notice me? I'm a foreigner, I'm a Moabite. Why would he even be interested or have noticed me? Why would I catch his eye? But that's how God is with you and me, that he takes notice of you. He saw her gleaning in the field. His eye was upon her. He saw her need. And God's attention is on you. And you have, nothing escapes his attention. It just blows my mind to think of an awesome God that we have. In the midst of all the world, the universe, and all the billions of people out there, his eye is firmly fixed on you and knows your need. It says that as the good shepherd, he knows every single one of his sheep by name. And you think of all the billions and billions of stars in the galaxies out there. God created every single one of them and knows every single one of them by name. But he has his eye firmly fixed on you and he notices you. And so the needs in your life, the concerns that you have, he knew Ruth's situation. He knew Naomi's situation. And he was about ready to respond and how he was going to meet that. And so rest under his arms and have peace to know that he sees you. Whatever you're going through, he's fully aware of that. It doesn't escape his attention. But his eye is fully fixed on you. Isn't that comforting to know? And that's under his wings we have that peace. To know that he sees you and knows everything about you. All that's going on in your life, all the struggles, all the heartaches, all the burdens. And he's there. He understands. And third, we can rejoice under his wings because he receives us. Boaz said to Ruth, "Don't go and glean in any other field," of verse 8. "Don't go and glean in any other field. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch out. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow after them. I told the men not to touch you. And if you're thirsty, go and get a drink." And she bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Someone who was outside of the people of God. Someone who was not an Israelite, but yet someone who was outside of the favor of God. But Boaz received her. And it's a picture of God under whose wings we reside, that we were not his people, but he received us as his own. We were outside of a relationship with him. But through his son Jesus and through his grace, he received us. And we were outside of his favor. But he has shown favor to you and me through his grace and grace alone. Nothing we can ever do. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about that. It's not anything of our effort that we're received, but we're received through a gift of his grace and mercy that he freely bestows upon us. And because of that, we can rejoice. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, "It is by grace you were saved, not by works, so no one can ever boast about it." But it's rejoicing in the gift of God freely given, his favor bestowed upon you. That's something to rejoice in, isn't it? He received us a foreigner. As Paul said, we were alienated. We were aliens outside of the people of God, but he brought us near through Jesus and to himself. So rejoice in that. Rejoice that as you're under his wings, you have been favored by God. He has favored you. He has received you and called you his own and made you one of his children. That's something to rejoice in. His grace freely bestowed. Fourth blessing that comes from being under his wings is that we are safe under his wings because he protects us. In verse 8, Boaz said, he said to the foreigners, he said to his harvesters and to the people, the foreman of his harvest, verse 7, he said, protect her. And he said to his men, watch over her. Don't let her be harmed. And don't let any, make sure that nobody touches her. And he told his men, keep her safe. Boaz told his harvesters to watch out for her. And he told Ruth to stay close to the servant girls and said, stay close to the servant girls and you will be safe. And he spread his arms of protection over Ruth, that as long as she was in his field, he was making sure that she would be safe. And Boaz was looking out for her because he knew she was a widow and he knew that she was from Moab. And so he knew that her life could maybe be threatened. And so he was protecting her with his arm of protection around her, keeping her safe. Our God, as we are under his wings, protects us. And we are safe and we are sheltered under his arms of protection from the storms of life, from our enemy against us, Satan, who opposes us, that our Lord stands with us in protection against him and keeps us safe. He gave his life for us. In an article that appeared in the National Geographic, it provided a picture of God's love for us and his protection over us under his wings. And after a forest fire that it was in Yellowstone National Park, rangers began their trek up a mountain to assess the damage that had happened in Yellowstone Park after the fire. One ranger found a bird that was literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground at the base of a tree. He was sickened by the sight and he kicked over the bird with a stick. And when he struck it, three tiny chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother bird, aware of the impending danger, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. She could have flown away and abandoned her babies, but that's not what she did. When the blaze had arrived and the heat scorched her small body, the mother remained steadfast. She had been willing to die so that the cover of her wings, those under the cover of her wings, would live. And that's what Jesus did for us. He had his wings over us and he was willing to die and to put his life down so that you and I could have life and sheltered under the protection of his wings. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what Boaz is saying here to Ruth. You're safe under my wings, under my protection. We're under the protection of God. And his shelter is over us. And we can rest in that. We are safe in that. And the fifth blessing that comes from being under his wings is that we are provided for under his wings because he cares for us. Ruth, Boaz said to his harvesters, he said, when you go and glean the field and you go through the first time, he said, don't pick it up. Make sure it's laid there. But he said, also, I want you to take notice where Ruth is working. And I want you to take some of it and intentionally drop it there around her and give her some more. He said, don't just leave the gleanings, but intentionally drop it there so that she has extra to pick up. He provided for her because he cared for her. And he also said to her, if there's water there, you're thirsty, drink from the jugs that my men have, and you will be provided for. You will be cared for. Your needs will be met. And isn't that a beautiful picture of our God? That he provides for you and I because he cares for us. And he doesn't just provide for the basic needs. The law required to just do the gleaning, just to let the harvesters, whatever the harvesters didn't gather, to let behind and for the people to pick up. That was what the law required. But Boaz says, no, go over and above that and intentionally drop some there for her. And that's how God is. Our God doesn't just provide for our basic needs, but he often goes over and above. The scripture says that he is exceedingly abundantly in his blessings. He doesn't just provide for our needs, but he goes over and above that. And that's the great God we have because he cares for us so much and so good. Whenever Ruth came home from the field, after spending the day gleaning there, she'd come back to Naomi and she brought back what she had. Naomi said, well, where did you go? She said, well, God gave favor and I went to the home, a field of a man named Boaz. And Naomi says, Boaz, that's one of our kinsmen redeemers. That's one of our relatives. May God be praised for the favor he has brought upon you and the care that he has shown. And the wonderful care of being under the wings of God. So we can rest in that. So this morning, knowing that his wings of protection are over us, as we, as verse 12 says, we have found favor by under the wings of God, who we have taken refuge. As we take refuge there, know that we can rest under his wings because he is sovereign. His plan, his timing, his purpose is good. He will bring about his goodwill in his way and his time and his plan. It will be done. We can have peace under his wings because he sees you. He sees your need. He notices you. His eye is firmly fixed on you. We can rejoice under his wings because he receives us and shows us favor as a gift of his grace. We are safe under his wings because he protects us there. And we are provided for under his wings because he cares for us. And he loves us deeply. So praise the Lord, for under his wings, we are safe. And under his wings, the Lord cares for us. He notices you this morning, and he is here and at work in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that your unseen hand is at work in our life, that we are abiding under your wings, and there we can take refuge. That you notice all the things in our life. You know what we're going through. You know the hard times we may be having, the needs in our life, the burdens that we carry that we may not publicly share, even what's on our heart this morning and the needs and burdens that we brought into your presence this morning. You know that. And your eyes are firmly fixed on us. And because you care for us, you will provide for our needs. You will meet that need according to your sovereign plan and purpose, which is good. And you will do it in your time. So Lord, help us to rest in you. Know that under your wings, we are secure. We are safe. We are protected and we are sheltered. So thank you for spreading your wings of protection over each one of us. Not of anything, Lord, that we've done. So we rejoice that you received us under your wings by a gift of grace, and you have shown your favor upon us, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we were a foreigner to your grace. You showed it to us so freely. So Lord, thank you for your care for us, your intimate love for each one of us, sheltering us, taking refuge under your wings of protection and love. And so, Lord, encourage us this morning as we abide with you and as you spread your wings over us through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.